Hello and welcome to episode 74 of the Blue Cup Tools podcast. I am Francisco Gonzalez, also known as Grundislav, and with me, as always...
Hello, I am Ben Chandler, also known as Ben 304. How are you, Francisco Gonzalez?
I am doing well, Ben Chandler. How are you?
All right. I'm good.
Yeah?
You know how you gave me homework and yourself homework?
Yeah, we didn't do our homework, did we?
No.
Hmm.
We're the worst.
We really are.
In my defense, Wasteland 2 is quite good.
In my defense, I have a job that I need to do, and... Yes.
Well, we both have jobs, Francisco Gonzalez, also known as Grundislav.
We do both have jobs, Benjamin Chandler, also known as Ben 304. But, yeah, I find it so difficult to find the time to play games after making games all day. It's one of those
things...
You do
things. Not. That's ridiculous.
What was the last game I played? See?
What?
See?
Listen.
My point has just been proven.
I'm not saying about playing games. I'm just saying about finding the time. It's ridiculous. It's pathetic.
Well, yeah.
Finding the time.
I can find the time to do whatever.
I know what you do, and yet I still play. We have the same job, and yet I still find the time.
Yeah, but you... Yeah, I don't know. I just don't have the drive to play games, adventure games especially, anymore. I know Dave Gilbert suffers from the same thing. He always tells me that he doesn't like playing adventure games because he spends all day making and testing and all that sort of thing. So, you know, it's the last thing you want to do is sit at your computer after sitting at your computer all day playing adventure
games. You change tunes very quickly, Francisco.
Do I?
I can't find the time. Now I just don't like doing it. There's two completely different mindsets.
Well, finding the time to do it is an essential part of this dilemma. But
okay.
I'll admit
well, what
that
have you been playing then?
I haven't been playing anything.
What do you do?
What do I do? I work, and then I...
And
I try and be social.
Social.
And I try and practice my art. And, you know, I do all sorts of things that are not play games.
Okay. I do all of those, but I still find time to play games.
Okay.
Speaking of which, it would appear that I have just initiated the dialogue. I say the dialogue. It's a monologue, isn't it? That leads into the battle of Wasteland 2.
Oh, exciting! So you've
been a long time. Been a long time getting here.
You may very well complete Wasteland 2 on the air.
I plan on it.
Oh,
so.
Good. Okay. Well, we'll have to take a little break from podcasting to announce the fact that you've finished Wasteland 2 when it in fact happens.
Okay, I'll let you know.
Yeah, okay. I know you will. Anyway, have you been playing anything else aside from Wasteland 2?
No.
Well, there you go.
See, here's the thing. Wasteland 2 is quite big, isn't it?
It is, but, you know, I've come to notice in other episodes and just from talking to you in general in life that you are kind of a game multitasker. You don't just usually play one game. It's very rare that you dedicate your full attention and time to just one game. I mean, have I left you speechless at this claim and accusation?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, we've had episodes where I ask you what you're playing, and you're like, oh, man, I can't remember. I've been playing so many games. And you
well,
list
true.
Off,
well,
like, 17.
Some games I can finish in, you know, one night or two nights. This is one that has taken 2 weeks.
Okay. And you didn't in that meantime think, gee, I could use a little break from Wasteland 2. Let me try this other game that'll take me an hour to play.
I played, with Kelsey, I played a little bit, like maybe an hour or so of The Perils of Man.
Well, there you
that's
go.
That's cute. Yeah, that's cute so far, but yeah, that's interesting. I like it, but like I said, I've only played an hour, so I'm interested to see where that goes.
Hmm. Fair enough. Yeah, I actually didn't. I was trying to think if I had played something, but I didn't. I watched, because I got nostalgic the other day for an old Nintendo game that I used to have, and I watched a Let's Play of, Who Framed Roger Rabbit for the Nintendo.
Hmm.
Because okay. I remember playing it a lot as a kid, and it's one of those games that's really, really badly balanced, because essentially it's kind of like, it's sort of like an adventure game in a sense, because... the bulk of the gameplay pretty much just involves you wandering around. I guess it's supposed to be Los Angeles, because that's where the movie's set. But basically, the bulk of the gameplay is you go into buildings and you search everything and looking for items. And you kind of have to just... Your main goal is to assemble four parts of a will, which are scattered throughout the map. And you pretty much just have to spend the whole time looking for these items that might be used to appease things that are guarding the will. And then the very last boss battle is probably the toughest boss battle in any game to date, because you have, like, all these weapons at your disposal, like bombs and portable holes and exploding cigars and things like that.
Exploding cigars.
It's
such a fun novelty thing.
Well, it's a cartoon game, you know. Who Framed Roger Rabbit is in Toontown, so they have all sorts of cartoon things and, like, boxing gloves and stuff like that.
And like boxing glove on, like, the thing that, like, juts out and, like...
Yeah, I guess the idea is the same. I mean, it's just a projectile boxing glove, and it makes a noise when you shoot it, but, yeah. But the last boss...
A what noise? A
Yeah, yeah, it's like a noise.
Nothing has ever made that noise, ever.
Well, I just did, so get used to it. Anyway.
I don't know.
The final boss battle
is... You destroyed me.
I'm sorry. The final boss battle is Judge Doom, of course, if you've seen the movie, which I don't think you have. But
I have not.
Okay. Well, anyway, so it's weird because you as the main character, Eddie, like, you can punch and you can charge up your punch, and that's your main weapon, but you have all these other weapons. So, like, all the other weapons do very little damage. So, essentially, you just have to punch this guy over and over and over again, and... He doesn't have a health bar. Instead, it's like this really long status bar that's been there the whole game, and then all of a sudden it just says end on it in the middle, and there's two little pixel-tall columns on either side, and those represent your health on the right and his health on the left. And so you kind of have to... It's kind of like tug-of-war. You have to push... You Every time he hits you, yours goes further towards the middle, and every time you hit him, his goes into the middle.
I've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb, actually. And
why?
Well, because it's just...
Sounds interesting.
Well, it becomes very tedious, because you hit him, and it moves ever so slightly, and he hits you, and it moves a lot. So, like, he can easily finish you off in, like, five punches, whereas it takes you easily, like, 50 fully charged punches to knock him out.
Yeah, overpowered bosses are never that fun.
Yeah, and the music is just really repetitive because it only lasts like 20 seconds, so you have to listen to this music for a good, like... The boss fight easily takes like a good 15 minutes, even if you...
Goodness.
If you do it well, yeah. So he only has like three attacks. He like shoots things at you wherein he becomes invincible. He like runs back and forth. Oh, that's the other thing. Eddie's punch is, like, really weird because he kind of winds up and he bounces up and down and he moves really slowly and awkwardly to control. So, if you screw up, you can't, like, run out from where you are. And so, it's really easy to get, like, caught up against Judge Doom, like, walking against you, and then he'll just start punching you and wailing on you. So, yeah. And then, to add insult to injury, once you finally knock him down... There's this truck that has a thing that you need to kill him that starts, like, shooting the thing that you need to kill him. So you have to climb up the truck and pick up the little cannon that's shooting it. And then he gets up, and he's about 10 pixels away from you, and he charges at you. So you have to load up this cannon and shoot it at him right as it happens, because he goes back to full health, and he'll kill you with one punch if he gets to you. So it's very quick. I think I did once, but I played it many, many times, and I very, very often died. And then the worst part is, if he kills you, you have lives, but you have to go back and start all over again, and you lose all the weapons that you use to, like, whittle him down. So,
I'm worn out just from listening to your description of this shit.
And you know what the worst part is?
This sounds like the worst game I've ever heard.
Do you know what the absolute worst part of it is? After you've spent...
That you are fond enough of this thing that you go and watch it on YouTube again?
I only watched the final boss battle just because I wanted to see the ending. Because, okay. And that is what the worst part of this is the ending. Because, you know, Nintendo games, most of them were designed, a lot of them didn't have saves, so a lot of them were designed to be played in one sitting. You can finish Roger Rabbit in, like, an hour, essentially.
Sure. Well, I can't.
Well, I mean, the long play was, like, an hour and 11 minutes.
The length of the game itself
is
short enough, I
got it. Right. So, the worst part is that after you've spent all this time going through all this thing, killing Judge Doom, do you know what the ending is?
Is it, well done, you did it.
Yeah, it's literally a black screen that says, Toontown is now in the rightful, it goes to its rightful owner, the owners, the Toons, the end. For like 10
that's
seconds.
That's how those games worked, isn't it? Didn't all Nintendo games end like that?
I guess maybe they figured that people were never going to finish it, so they were never going to see the end
screen. Yeah, they're like, well, we've made the shittest thing ever.
Yeah. It was.
I'm very sorry to fans of the game, but that sounds fucking atrocious. I'd never play that.
It's pretty terrible. I mean, the game itself
is pretty fun. You told me that you liked it.
Yeah, I liked it when I was a kid. I liked Torrent's Passage when I was a kid, too, and look
you
how that turned out.
Shit, dude.
Hey, I didn't know any better, okay?
Clearly.
Who has taste when they're
a kid? You pick on me for playing Doom over and over. You played this shit over and over as a kid. What's up with you?
I was persistent. And I didn't have anything else. In my day, we only had one game and we liked it, okay?
In my day, we also only had one game. It was Doom.
Well, Who Framed Roger Rabbit came out in 1989, so the math there. Anyway. So, yeah, now that I've finished getting off in my soapbox.
I'm worn out. I can't do this podcast. That's it. You've worn me out. You have worn me out with this description of this horrible sounding game.
It's not all bad. It has some redeeming qualities. It's just the final boss battle is terrible.
What are the redeeming qualities of this shit?
Well, you can drive around in a cab. That's fun. And the animation is actually very well done. They did like, it's when it rotates, it has like 20 something views. It's very smooth when it rotates, which is pretty impressive for an 8-bit Nintendo game. So that's a thing.
It just sounds horrible, you know, like it sounds unforgivably badly designed. It's like, oh, let's make this really, really hard just for the sake of no one finishing the game.
Well, a lot of old games did that. I mean,
I know.
Yeah, so
that sucks.
I know it sucks, but it was a thing that they did. I mean, thankfully they hopefully have moved on from that.
Man, people complain about Another World being hard. You guys are crazy. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess. Out of This World is just kind of trial and error until you know exactly what you're doing.
Well, it's puzzle solving with a ability to also die, really, and a few tricky jumps.
Yeah, yeah. But at least that well, the ending of that one isn't exactly satisfying.
Another one is fantastic. No, hey, how dare you? The ending of that game is fantastic.
He flies away on a bird.
It's good.
It's unresolved.
How is it unresolved? He flies off into the clouds.
He doesn't get back home.
So?
So? That's sad.
That's not his story. Story has an ending like that. Understand that as a writer, Francisco.
What about all his friends and family back home that'll never see him again?
Dude, he didn't have friends and family. He was a science nerd. They don't have friends.
He had a freaking Lamborghini or whatever. He had to have had friends.
Because he didn't have any friends. He didn't spend any money on their birthday presents. He just stayed at home and he bought a cool car for himself and drank soda.
Well, what about his cool car? He's never going to get to drive that again.
He's got a flying dragon thing that he's friends with. Friend rides. What more do you want?
His friend Maxwell.
Yeah.
Mike Aruba.
Buddy. But Mike Aruba.
And Mike Aruba.
Don't pick on the ending of Another World, dude. It's a really good ending. For all, like, you can play all that other shit and enjoy the well done, you saved it. Yeah, you played a Nintendo game. Pick on ending of Another World.
You were picking on endings just the other day. Yesterday, in fact. But that's neither here nor there.
Is it then?
That's another podcast, I think. We can talk about game endings in another podcast. Wow, the past two podcasts we've come up with topics while we're recording. That's pretty good.
People organically see the process now. Getting in on the how the process. This is how it works. This is how the think tank works.
Well, I hate to spoil anything, but we don't really have a process. We just start talking and hope for the best. Stop deflating, jeez.
Yeah, I refuse to stop deflating. What was I gonna say?
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know, I've forgotten, I've actually forgotten. Techno Babylon's nearly out.
Yeah,
the demo's out. You can play the demo of that on Steam, and I think there's an extended demo on GOG.
That always
which stands
for that games. Always I never understood the reasoning behind GOG wanting
I think GOG just like having like they demos. Just want everything exclusive, like just I give guess. Us all the things.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know.
Yeah. GOG are a strange bunch of guys, but I mean they put old games up for people to play in
they
this
do.
Day and age. So, you know, I'll take a little bit of strangeness.
They do. Last week they put up Judgment Rights and 25th Anniversary and that other Starfleet Academy. So, there you go.
What more do you want from life? Other than other games than
other
them?
Other games, yeah.
Than them? Than them? What happened to my grandma?
I don't know. What happened to your grandma?
She's lovely. I went and had dinner with her last night.
Good. Good. Yeah, so anyway, so this week, as we mentioned last week, we're going to be talking about game length.
And Brian also asked us to extend it to be about pacing as well.
Yeah, I think the two go hand in hand, so
we sort of.
Yeah, I guess.
You can have a short game that's badly paced or a long game as well, you know.
That's true. So, I recently...
Half-Life 2 is pretty brisk pace in pacing, but that's pretty long.
Yeah. I recently played Sam and Max Hit the Road on one of my flights when I was traveling over to your faraway continent.
Hello.
Hi. And I believe I played it on my very first flight, actually. Yes, I did, from New York to Los Angeles, which is a five-hour and something flight. And I believe I started Sam and Max not long after we took off, and I finished it in about 3 hours or so.
That sounds... that's about right.
Yeah.
It takes about that long to finish.
Yeah, so I was talking to Anatoly the other day at the... at the drink night, and
you nearly forgot the boy-oing, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I knew you were going to do it. I know you got it.
You know I've got your back. You know I always have.
Yep, I do. Anyway, so I was talking to Anatoly the other day at the drink night. You didn't do it. I said his name again.
I know, I'm concentrating on this battle, sorry.
Oh, okay, right. And he told me that Sam and Max could be finished in 45 minutes, to which I said, that is an outright lie, Anatoly. That is just...
Goodness, you have little faith.
Well, I didn't say that, but I found it a little hard to believe, because I thought back
you found
on
it. When you say that something is an outright lie, that's more than finding something a little hard to believe.
I was exaggerating for comedy purposes. It was hyperbole, okay? Or hyperbole, if you're Jacob Jericho.
Don't.
Hi, Jacob!
Does he listen to our podcast?
No, he doesn't listen to our podcast. I can pick on him. Anyway.
Good.
Anyway.
Hey, so, wait. That's my... What? I don't even know. There's a joke there, but I'm too busy doing the last battle of Wasteland 2. I think it's the last battle.
Were you gonna say the F word?
No. Okay. Why would I say the F word?
I wasn't talking about fuck. I was talking.
Oh!
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Anyway. So I said to Anatoly, I don't think that you can finish Sam and Max in 45 minutes. That seems like it's way too short. And he said, yeah, you can. There's like Let's Plays, speedruns of Sam and Max.
Yeah, but speedrunners are insane, dude. They can finish things in no time. Like,
well, that's the thing. I said
minus time.
Yeah, I said, do you, well, is that like speedrunning, but is that skipping the cutscenes and not listening to the dialogue? And he said, no, it's playing the actual game. So he linked me on Twitter the other day to a Let's Play of Sam and Max that took an hour and, like, I think an hour and a half, maybe? But I didn't watch the whole thing, obviously, but I kind of, like, skimmed through it to see. And yeah, they actually just, you know, played it. And it's really apparently really easy to finish very quickly, which is interesting because that means that it takes less time to finish than Full Throttle, which is considered one of the shortest LucasArts adventure games. I guess the thing with...
But I think Sam & Max has way harder puzzles.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. That's like, what I was just going
to
say.
It's hard to compare those because of... I mean...
Yeah. So
you've played Sam & Max, so yeah.
I have played Sam & Max and recently. And Day of the Tentacle, as I said, usually takes me about maybe 2 hours to play if I just go on autopilot and don't talk to anybody extensively. So that's the thing. Like, you play all these old games, and I played... I think I mentioned this on a couple of episodes.
Oh, you're actually using a segue here. I just thought you were talking shit for no reason.
When do I ever not talk shit for no reason?
Well, now, apparently. any opportunity to do a segue, you'll take. You know this. You know that this is who you are.
I didn't do a segue. I just started talking about today's topic.
Mm.
I held back.
I'm actually depressed.
I showed restraint.
Well, first time for everything.
Listen.
I am listening. That's the whole point of a dialogue. One person talks while the other person listens, and then they swap.
Don't lecture me on how to do dialogues. I do dialogues all the time. Anyway. You've made me lose my train of thought with your meta interruption. Oh, I remember now. So, yeah, so I played King's Quest IV a couple of months ago. And
I haven't played that one.
You should. You should also play the Colonel's Bequest, which I took to you. I took the Colonel's Bequest all the way to you.
Now, see here.
And how do you
repay
me?
You said to me, I remember this, and I remember things. That's who I am. That's my part in this duo. I'm the one that remembers the things.
Okay.
You said to me, don't play it until I'm there, because I want to watch you play it. And I said, okay, that's all right, because I'll be playing Wasteland 2, and that's going to take quite a while to finish because it's quite a hefty game by all accounts.
All right, fine.
That's why I haven't played it.
Fine. Okay, anyway, so
in
I played...
In my defense, you suck.
What? Why do I suck?
Because.
You can't just say I suck and say because. You have to have a legitimate reason.
I just did. Did you not hear it?
No, but that's...
Were you not listening?
I refuse to accept...
Listening skills, children.
I'm going to edit
this... Did your teacher ever say that?
No. Did yours?
Teachers us. Yeah. Teachers are strange. Well, some teachers are.
Well, my mom's a teacher and she's pretty strange, so...
Yeah. I mean, look at her progeny.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, look where I get it from. Anyway, as I've tried to say several times before being rudely interrupted by a certain cat on this podcast.
That's me.
That's the idea. You're my favorite customer.
That's the idea.
I love that we can make references to that now.
You haven't even seen it until like...
Oh, for God's sake, why do you always point that out? Who cares? I've seen
it
now.
You told me that I need to see it, and then it turned out that you hadn't even seen it yourself.
I had seen most of it.
That doesn't count.
Yes, it does. Anyway, so I played King's Quest IV, and it took me about an hour and a half knowing what to do. And King's Quest IV is also considered a difficult game. So, this leads me to... my hypothesis and theory and about length of classic adventure games. And that is that people always say, oh, I always want my adventure games to be at least 12 hours. And, you know, if you have anything that takes less
Who says
than that...
The last thing I want is an adventure game that takes that long. Man,
well,
that's crazy.
I feel the same way.
I haven't got much time.
I know. I feel the same way, but you and I are in the minority here. Most people want a long experience for their money or whatever, which we can get into that later. But the thing is, a lot of these old games were actually very short. You can complete them in no time at all if you know what to do. The challenge of adventure games lies in solving the puzzles and proceeding with the story. It's not like an RPG where it's a long game because there's so much content and so much stuff to do and so much backtracking and whatever and such a large area to explore. It's mostly because there's all these obstacles in your way and you have to figure out how to surpass them. And, well, once you do that, you know, there's really no great reason to go back and solve the game. Like, I was playing Star Trek Judgment Rights the other day with Jess, and I was letting her play it because she's never played it before, and we were going through the first episode, and I think it took her about an hour and a half to get through the first episode because she had never played it before, so she was, you know, exploring everything and looking around and stuff. And through a fault in the directory naming in DOSBox, it turned out that we couldn't save games, so I had to go back and, after she left, I had to go back and speed run the first episode in order to save once I figured out what the problem was so we could pick up where we left off. And I got through the first episode in like 20 minutes. So that just goes to show you that adventure games in their design are pretty much short by nature.
Wow. Well, I mean, this is something we've been talking about for years on the AGS forums, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty obvious that a lot of old games, in some cases, there's padding. Like, if you look at Full Throttle with, like, the bikes, and you look at The Secret of Monkey Island with the sword, insult sword fighting.
Yeah.
And even, you know, some of the CO games, I believe, had, like, slot machines and gambling and weird mini games. Shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, you know, but it's pretty obvious, you know, that the longer it takes you to solve a puzzle, a single puzzle, the longer a game's going to be. And if you've got 12 really hard puzzles and 12 really easy puzzles, it's going to obviously sort of, you know, take you longer to solve the 12 really hard ones because you have to sit there and think about it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to walk back and forward. You have to look at all the clues, you know, if there are in fact clues. And if there's badly designed puzzles that get you stuck, obviously, that takes longer. Yeah.
Well, so. I've always thought that if you're going to have adventure game puzzles that are going to take a long time to solve, that are going to bring the story to a halt, the idea ideally is to not have puzzles that bring your game to a halt, because that goes into the topic of pacing and how it's going to make your story just die if you have an obstacle that you can't proceed the story with, you know. Like,
it's really also, story aside, because it really does put a damper on the story if you've got, you know, snappy pacing and stuff's coming along and you're revealing things, you know, you get a little plot reveal every time you solve a puzzle, which, you know, isn't, if you can get a little plot reveal every time you solve a puzzle, that's one thing I like about Sam and Max Hit the Road, is like you uncover like this trail of clues that, like, you know, you go into the caravan and you get a new location.
Yeah.
And you go to that, that's one thing I really like about that.
Right, it opens up the world. So that's what I was just going to say. If you have a whole bunch of puzzles and you're stumped in one location, if you have other places you can go to and other things you can work on at the same time, then that really makes it less awful. And LucasArts were good at doing that. Sierra, not so much.
One thing that's interesting about Sierra games, I noticed this especially with King's Quest V, is a lot of the times it's about exploring and just walking around and seeing what news happen. Like King's Quest V, once you solve a puzzle, sometimes you just walk around the big area that's been unlocked the whole time. I'm like, well, I wonder what's new here.
Yeah,
that wasn't before.
King's Quest 5 and 6 actually had a lot of non-linearity as far as puzzles you could solve, which was good. King's Quest 6 especially, because you had like all the different places.
Sometimes people get annoyed by that, because like in King's Quest 5 especially, you're just like, all right, I'll keep walking around until I find the new thing. There's no hint that a bear suddenly appeared. You just walk around until you find it.
That's true. Yeah, and
pads the game out too.
Yeah, you know? you didn't like the fact that you had to go into the desert, but you didn't know because every time you got warned that it was dangerous.
Yeah, this is that's just the inconsistency that Al had warned me about things being dangerous, and every time I ignored his warnings just to try them, I had died. And suddenly he warned me about the desert, so I thought, I'm not going there. Although I actually did try going in there, walked in there, and a scorpion just ran up to me and bit me and killed me. It gave me... Yeah, it stung me with its venomous stinger.
Yes.
Do
scorpions have mouths? I'm sure they do.
Every animal has mouths. That's how they eat. Well,
not
every animal,
not
but
every animal.
Sort of macro animal.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's how they eat. They have mouth parts.
Hmm.
That's I'm surprised you had to ask that.
I'm surprised that your internet is terrible. Well, actually, I'm not surprised that your internet is terrible.
Mm.
Yeah, it's all right. Anyway,
scorpions have mouths, Francisco.
Yes, good. We've learned something about arthropods today.
Yeah.
Anyway. So game length. So I've always found in every game I've made, and I've said this before, every game I've made, I've tried to do a design document, and I've tried to lay out the puzzles and things, and it always seems to me like it's going to be this really long game. And then when I finally make the game, it turns out that you can finish it really, really quickly. This was true for the old Ben Jordan games, and it was true as well for Golden Wake, which a lot of criticism for Golden Wake was that it was too short. But I think it was also the fact that that the puzzles weren't like really all that difficult. So yeah, you could get through stuff pretty quickly. So yeah, finding that balance between pacing and proper game length is weird. Now, having said that, we have Shardlight, which, as I've said many times, is turning out to be way longer than I anticipated, because I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking it was going to end up being, but it's turning into a pretty long game. I mean, I keep saying this, so now people who listen to this are probably going to be like, oh, Shardlight's going to be so long, and then it'll probably just be average length and whatever. But for games that I have designed compared to other games that I've designed, Shardlight is pretty long. So,
okay.
I don't know. It's weird. I said last podcast that I had started writing a post-mortem on a Golden Wake, and yeah, I got distracted and I haven't written any more, but I'm gonna keep on plugging away at that, so it'll be out at some point. Anyway.
It's a couple of different things. I think it's obviously, like, it's hard to judge when you know the solutions. What more is there to say than if you know how to solve a puzzle, it doesn't take you very long. If you don't know how to solve a puzzle, it's going to take you a long time.
Yeah, but I mean, like, for instance, I remember when Vince was testing Resonance, he would say that even knowing what to do and skipping all the dialogue, Resonance took him 4 hours to finish, you know?
Okay.
I mean, yeah. I've never designed a game where knowing what to do and finishing everything has ever taken more than, like, 2 hours. But then you look at games like Day of the Tentacle and Sam and Max and everything, and it's the same thing. So, yeah, I kind of wonder if this whole adventure games need to be really long is sort of a product of the post-golden era school of thought on adventure games.
The post-golden era school of thought.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's right, I'm coining terms like nobody's business. Take that.
I don't know how I feel about that. I would say, like, I think we're a lot more tolerant of things back in the day. Like, if you put a maze in a game now, people get really upset about that.
Yeah. Well, also, but, back then, there was no internet. There was no internet to look up the solutions instantly.
Yeah.
There was
people sometimes marvel at how long a game takes them to play. And, like, you know, I've been playing Waxworks a bit, as you know, and man, Waxworks. I spent 2 weeks on one section just mapping it out cell by cell.
That's pretty patient.
Well, you have to be patient to play those games. That's how they're designed to be played. You know, like, there's no other way of doing it. It's that simple.
Hmm.
Like, if you play them properly,
mm-hmm. Are you concentrating on your battle?
I've finished the battle. I'm trying to...
Oh. So, did you finish the game then?
Nearly.
Oh.
I think. I'm trying to figure out what to do.
You said, I think I've finished this game, like, or I'm close to finishing this game so many times now.
It's hard
like the boy
to
who cried wolf.
I will say this. Look, Wasteland 2 is a great game. I like it a lot. I've been really enjoying it. But it kind of... It drags in places a bit. Like, it's hard to tell sometimes. Mm.
Well, there's a good example of pacing.
Yeah, it's...
Yes.
How the hell do I get through here? I might have to load my game and try this bit again. It goes too fast for me. What was I going to say?
I don't know. You're a little all over the place.
Yeah, I know. This is a tense bit of the game.
Hmm.
Well, but yeah, yes. it's sometimes you play a game like I remember playing Arcanum back in the day.
Hmm.
I love Arcanum. It's like one of my most favorite RPGs ever. But man, the pacing, Jesus. Like, it's everywhere, dude. Like, you know, fantastic game, well-designed, very interesting, but sometimes it's just impolite. It's just plain rude, you know? The design is just, well, who the hell designed this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's weird how this game doesn't have any of that. Wasteland 2 is incredibly well-balanced. It's probably the most well-balanced role-playing game I've played in my entire life.
Wow.
Because there is skills for everything you might need a skill for.
Mm-hmm.
It has an every skill you've learned, it has a thing where you're like, okay, you can use that here. You know, it doesn't feel like you take useless skills. Every skill feels useful.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go around and there's just useful, like, you're like, oh, you never feel like, oh, I wasted that. But not much of it is that interesting or significant.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly just like, oh, you can open lots of locked things, or you can get through the thing. It's just okay. Well, I can do all this everyday stuff. It never feels like, oh, you know, I can. The way that I've played this game is different and interesting. So I don't know if that's good or bad. It's really hard for me to decide that. You know, on one hand, we've got a game that literally every skill you take is incredibly useful at some point. On the other hand, none of the useful stuff is super interesting. There's a few things you're like, okay, well, that was a really unique usage of that. So it kind of, it's good, but on the other hand, it's just like, I wish there was more unique stuff, you know. In other games, there might only be three usages for a single skill in the entire game. And yet, I mean, those three uses are really memorable and interesting.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. It's hard for me to explain, but...
Okay.
Meh.
Fair enough.
I'm sorry that I'm playing this game while also on the podcast.
Don't apologize to me. Apologize to the listeners. You're not giving them your full attention.
Sorry. I don't care. I literally don't care.
Wow. Wow.
I think it's really hard. I know that action game designers have this thing where they design their game and they think it's pretty easy because they've designed it and they know how to do it, and they play through it and they're like, oh man, this is, everyone will get this, and everyone plays it and it's like, oh god, this is way too hard. I think puzzle game designers can be sometimes the opposite. Sometimes they can make this stuff really hard, but sometimes you're like, oh, this is a huge bit, this will take people forever, and you watch them play and you're just like, well, they solved that in 2 seconds. And other times you're like, oh, this will be just a nice little snappy bit that people get through. And I watched Kelsey play through the Techno Babylon demo today, and there were bits that I was just like, I know what to do, and it seems really obvious to me, but watching someone else try to figure out, it's interesting watching the thought process of someone solving a puzzle. Have you done that much? I mean, you've watched me play DOS games. Like,
I've watched you play adventure games that you haven't played, yes.
Yeah, and it throws the pacing off when you know how a story goes and like...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's how I felt when I was watching you play Torrent's Passage, and I was getting really, really sad and frustrated.
You were getting frustrated. I could hear it.
Because it seemed, to me, it seemed obvious, but then I realized objectively that it actually is not obvious at all. So,
it's known. No, I did not find the puzzles in their game obvious at all. I can understand why there's a hint button, you know?
Exactly. So, yeah, it's a thing. Yeah, no, I've watched other people play adventure games too. And yeah, adventure games, if you know how to play an adventure game and what the solution is, the last thing you want to do is watch someone else play an adventure game. Unless you're really good friends with them.
It is sort of like, oh, what are you doing? Why can't you do this?
Yeah, unless you're really good friends or significant others with someone, don't watch them play an adventure game because, yeah, it might lead to naughty things, or not naughty things, but it might lead to bad situations.
Whoa, Jesus, really? What bad situation? What bad situations?
Well, you could get into a fight or something. You could be like, oh my god, I can't believe you didn't realize how to do that, you stupid idiot, I hate you. Bam, and you punch
Jesus!
Them.
I think you should see a therapist if that's how watching a game makes you feel.
That's only how I would feel if I watched it with someone who I wasn't friends or close relationship with. That's how I treat my acquaintances. So if you're only a passing acquaintance of mine and you're listening to a podcast, don't have me around when you're playing adventure games.
I'm definitely concerned. I don't think I want you watching me play games anymore, well, Francisco.
But you're more than just a passing acquaintance, so you don't have to worry.
I'm if that's genuinely how you feel when you watch me play games, I don't know why you want
to. That's actually not how I feel at all. I was saying this for comedy value. I would hope that you realize this as well as our listeners.
Okay.
But no, it's actually does. In all seriousness, it is a little bit interesting. I mean, it's not. It can be a little bit frustrating to watch someone not get something. But I mean, you know, everyone works differently. So
the worst thing in the entire world is watching someone play your own puzzles and like, be oh, why didn't I?
Yeah, I don't do that. I try not to do that anymore. I don't want to watch Let's Plays of my games, and I don't want to have anybody ever play my game in the same room as me. Because, yeah. I'll watch, like, yeah. I've watched people try and beta test parts of Shardlight already, and...
Yeah, that's interesting, because there's a few puzzles in that. I'm watching the final cutscene of Wasteland 2, by the way.
Oh, okay. Good.
That's really sad that I probably spent more time figuring out what to do in the final battle, because there's a countdown timer, and I had to reload because I ran out of time the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But I got it.
Okay.
I'm done.
Good.
That was a great game.
Congratulations.
Thank you. One thing though, I got to say, I really like this. You know how at the end of Fallout games... And Arcanum was the same. You get to the end and it's like...
What everyone
because...
did.
What's that, sorry?
It tells you how your actions affected everyone around you.
Yes, but this is different. This is different. And this is going to be a slight spoiler, so I'm sorry. But there's certain communities that you can help over the course of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you help the communities, then representative of those communities help you in the final fight.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so, and the final big battle and everything like that. And because I'm a completionist, I go around and I do every side quest I can find, which is why stuff takes me so long.
Yeah.
And because I've done that, like, the last battle was really easy because I had so many helpers.
Well, that's good.
Mm. Mm.
It's nice to be rewarded for things like that.
Yeah, that's... Sometimes I feel like you finish a game and all the choices that you made for the game, all these big decisions, really amounted to nothing. There's a game that I really like called Cult Heretic Kingdoms, and they made another Heretic Kingdoms game recently, I think. But yeah, Cult Heretic Kingdoms. Cult with a K, obviously, because it's a video game. You don't name things with their correct spelling if
of
you
course.
Can put a K in there. And that you get to the end, and it literally feels like... They literally show you the list of options that you could have been and highlight the one that you were.
Oh, wow.
And I think Tom Baker, like, says a few lines about...
Oh, that's the one with Tom Baker. I know this game.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, okay. It is. So, yeah, I was, like, really disappointed, but this is really good. So that's got nothing to do with pacing, but I thought I would point it out to our listeners.
You know what else has nothing to do with pacing? You said K, and that reminded me of Katzenklapper.
Katzenklapper.
Anyway, game length and pacing, yeah. So, yeah.
How long should an adventure game be, Francisco?
That's a good question.
For me, the
because
answer
that's a
is
difficult
always,
question. Well,
for me, the answer is...
Well, go ahead. Tell me what your answer is.
For me, the answer is adventure games are a story-based medium.
Yes.
Generally.
Mm-hmm.
The game should be as long as it takes you to convey the story that you want to convey, in my opinion. It
yes.
shouldn't be, a game needs to be 10 hours, a game shouldn't be longer than 5 hours, anything like that. That's all ridiculous to me. It
yeah.
should be as exactly as long as you need to convey the full experience of this character going through their story.
No, that's right. That's absolutely right. But I was going to say...
See, I can actually talk now that I've finished playing Wasteland 2.
I've noticed an increase in your verb, or your word count, since you finished.
Yeah.
Anyway,
good game.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. So yeah, when you ask me that question, how long should an adventure game be? It's difficult for me to answer because I think I start analyzing the question and I have to say, well, do you mean how long should it take to play through without knowing what to do? How long should it take to play through
knowing what to do?
How long should it take for the story? You know, et cetera, et cetera.
No, I think, I definitely think a game experience is the first time you play it. Like, that's the main thing that you're thinking. Because, I mean, how many games do you replay?
There's a few games that I replay. And I revisit
them.
Yeah,
but I mean the percentage.
Well, not, I don't know.
Majority of the experience is one playthrough, right?
Well, I'm looking at my shelf right now of games, and I can tell you that I've played, let's see, I have one, two, three. Talk while I count my games.
For me, like, I replay games regularly, but the majority of games that I play through and enjoy, like modern ones that I buy, you know, I'll get an indie game, you know, and I'll be like, oh, this looks interesting, and I play through it once, and I go, well, that was really fun. Next game. Because if I don't, man, I've got so many games, I'll never get through that thing. There's so many different games, that I want to experience, you know, there's so many that come out now. And even games that I missed back in the day, if I play through everything more than once, I'd never get to any of these games. So for me, the main experience of most games is the first playthrough when I don't know what to do and I'm solving it as I go.
Okay, I counted and I have about 80 games on my shelf right now, 80 adventure games. And I would say of those 80 adventure games, I've replayed about 70 of them at least once.
Yeah, okay, but what about adventure games that you've played in the last 5 years that's on your Steam shelf?
Oh, I haven't played any adventure games in the last 5 years on my Steam shelf. Are you kidding me?
Yes, you have. Don't be ridiculous. Yes, you have. Don't be ridiculous.
Well, let me look at my Steam shelf.
Yeah, so, I mean, are you going to replay Broken Sword 5, do you think?
Probably not.
Are you going to replay the Sherlock Holmes? Are you going to replay the Sherlock Holmes games?
Actually, I might replay Crimes and Punishments because I just want to do a playthrough as a really bad detective and get everything wrong to see what happens. I probably won't play the Samaritan Paradox again or The Walking Dead.
Fair enough, but you see what I mean, right?
I do see what you mean. Yes, I won't. Inner World, even though I like the Inner World.
Yeah, like there's Inner World. It's lovely. So for me, the main experience of the game and the thing that you should be talking about the pacing for is that main playthrough when you are solving the puzzles.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's take The Inner World, for example. I enjoyed The Inner World. That had good puzzles and pacing and story. And I don't remember how long it took me. I think I finished it in like 2 sittings. But I remember being satisfied with it. It wasn't like, oh, that was short or whatever.
Yeah, and that's not a long...
No. It's not a super long
game. It's not a long game, and it's not an overly complex game, but it tells the story it wants to tell. Yeah, the story comes to full conclusion.
Yeah. I mean, look at, for example, games like Grand Theft Auto or Red Dead Redemption or Assassin's Creed, these big open-world AAA games where the story just gets sidetracked so much. And, like, you know, you're trying to chase down a guy, and then all of a sudden it becomes like, oh, I have to do this and this and this, and then when you finally get back to the main story, it's like, what? I forgot what was going on here. And it's all for the sake of game length, you know? You have these, you know, 40-hour games, and the only reason that they're 40 hours is because there's so much padding and so much side quests that the pacing of the story suffers immensely. But, I mean, yeah, in adventure games you don't see that so much, thankfully, but...
I think those games, though, it is just fun to walk around.
Yeah, definitely. I was listening to the Square Waves FM podcast, and Brian said something which I do as well, which he recently picked up Grand Theft Auto 5, and he said he did the same thing in 4 and 5, which I did as well, is, you know, when you have this huge world to explore... And if you just start picking up and playing as you're supposed to play GTA 5, it's just, you know, a bunch of car chases and, you know, shooting and stuff. But you so rarely get a chance to just, like, walk around and take in the sights and listen to the pedestrian dialogue and just, like, see all the little things that they've put all this effort into doing.
Mm.
And Brian said he just goes for a walk, you know? He doesn't get into any cars. He just walks around. He sees what there is to see. And I do the same thing. And it's really interesting because you get to see this sort of, like, you know, thing. It's like, remember when we were driving around and I said something to the extent of, you know, we spend all this time driving between these two places, but you look out and you see all this empty, all these empty fields and empty space, and you never like really stop to think about how long it would take if you just parked on the side of the road and walked out into the field. Like, all the little bugs and insects and everything that are in the soil and stuff, you never see that because you spend your whole life just driving past. And you never take time to just, like, walk around and see all the little details of the world. Man, this got really philosophical.
I was talking the same thing the other day with someone, with my grandma, actually. That, you know, like, we travel so far now, you know, because you and I traveled, I think, 11,000 kilometers or something.
Yeah.
I traveled 11,000, you traveled 30,000 or 40,000 or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well,
that's not ridiculous. That's a big world we live in.
Yeah, but in all that time and all that travel, how much of the world did I actually see? Not much. I certainly didn't see all of it. You know, my eyes were on the road for a lot of the time, or in a plane I couldn't see. So
yeah, sure.
You know, for me, I prefer personally.
But even that, I
don't mind a small world as long as it's dense.
Yeah.
For me, density is way more important than size. I remember playing a game called Boiling Point, which was an open-world first-person shooter on the PC. And, you know, it touted how big, like, 256 square kilometers of rainforest that you can go through. But it was boring because there was nothing there. I remember going through this rainforest and, like, shooting the snakes that tried to kill me and everything like that. And finally, after all this exploration, I came across a crashed aeroplane. I was like, oh, wow, this is interesting. There's a story here. Something happened. And I was like, this is great. That's the most interesting thing on this map. And then I was walking around again, and I found another of the exact copy-pasted aeroplane. And there were four of these aeroplanes on the map. I'm like, suddenly that aeroplane's really boring to me.
Hmm.
One of the most interesting and cute open-world games I've played recently is a 96, I think, Ubisoft game called Subculture, which I might have talked about. Queeper, Steve McRae worked on it.
Oh, right.
I think he said it was the first game he actually worked on. So an AGS user worked on that game. And it's so cute. It's not a big world. It's a pretty small thing in terms of open world. But every little bit of the world feels unique. And there's all this little, like, you can go around and find interesting stuff. That, I'd take a small world with interesting details in it like that over a massive world, like Far Cry 2 for me. This huge, massive world with just hated you and didn't want you to be there.
Yeah. Well, look at Just Cause 2. That's an intimidating game to play because of how big it is.
Oh, Jesus. But for me, see, the fun for me in Just Cause 2 isn't exploring the world and everything like that. It's just being ridiculous and...
Well, yeah. But there's so many, like, little things to go to and blow up. It's, like, it's pretty overwhelming.
In games like that, you actually set your own pacing. Like,
Oblivion... Yeah, that's true.
Fallout 3 probably doesn't take that long to play through. The pacing of the story is pretty snappy. It's pretty quick. But you go, hey, there's an interesting thing over there.
Yeah.
You know, so adventure games can't really do that so much.
You can to an extent
with, like, all your different dialogues. You can, if you want to find out the backstory. And, you know, the Technobabylon that I worked on, there's, like, news articles that really do nothing for the actual puzzles and emails and stuff like that. But you can read them if you want. Mm-hmm. They're there. So,
there's very little room for side quests in adventure games, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, what's the point? We're here to deliver a story, usually, and most of the time the story is the main thing. There's not, you know, I don't know.
The only adventure game, quote-unquote, that I can think of recently that had side quests was Stacking. Did you ever play Stacking?
I did play Stacking. Stacking was cute. That was more...
It was, but that was more like checking off on a list just to see everything.
Yeah, and that was also like... That was also... You've solved this puzzle that way, but can you solve it two other ways?
Yeah, exactly.
Stacking was cute, though.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. It's like... That's an interesting thing. Like, imagine... I guess the most... The closest I can think of is in Sherlock Holmes Crimes and Punishments, where I know that there's at least one or two cases where the solution seems obvious, and you can actually propose that as the correct solution if you want. But if you dig deeper and look for more clues and stuff, you can come up with the correct solution, you know?
Yeah.
So, like I said, I haven't replayed it to see what happens if I'm just a really bad detective and make all the wrong assumptions. But yeah, like, that sort of thing is interesting to me. The ability to just, like, you know... And I remember L.A. Noire said that you could probably... When they were first, you know, hyping it up and everything, they were like, oh yeah, L.A. Noire, you can miss evidence and you won't get certain parts of the story if you don't. But that turned out to be not exactly true, because you can pretty much... Even if you miss something, the game still railroads you along and lets you finish the case.
Yeah. A lot of those games where they're like, oh, you can dictate the thing, you still get the same result, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like Heavy Rain, like you can have people die and still end up at the same conclusion.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, just, yeah, slightly different. The story's always going to play out the same way. It's just how you get there is different. I mean, that appeals to the people who are all like, oh, it's not the destination, it's the journey, or something. But whatever. Which is...
That's a sweet sentiment.
Yeah, but that's total BS, because let me tell you something. The 15-hour plane ride is not better than getting to Australia. But that's... Yeah, anyway, that's besides the point. So I guess adventure games, like, I agree with you. I think they should just be as long as it takes to tell the story. I mean, if you're going to take the time to make a game... I would like to think that the story you're going to tell should more or less be about the length of a feature film, you know? An hour and a half? People pay... Yeah. People. Oh, what I was going to say before was about how people complain about, you know, time versus money or whatever, and they're like, oh, this game is only 4 hours. It's not worth $15 or something like that. But how much is a AAA game? It's like $60 more now for the next generation. And... You know, you get 40-something hours of gameplay, which is ridiculous.
Are you saying this is someone who just, like, spent 50 or 60 hours playing through a game? That wasn't AAA by any means, but, you know.
Well, yeah, how much was Wasteland 2?
I don't know how much I bought it for, to be honest, I can't remember.
Well, there you go. But if you think about it, a movie ticket costs $13 nowadays, and you get an hour and a half, 2 hours... So, you know, that's always the go-to comparison.
It's always the quality versus quantity things, you know?
Yeah,
you can spend 100 hours playing solitaire that you got for free, but that might not be the fulfilling experience that you want.
Sure.
If you are happy with 4 hours of story, you know, that does it well. I mean, look at Hotline Miami. That game does not take long to play through, and yet...
Well, it took me a long time because I'm not good at it, but...
Right, but like for the people that are good at shooters, you know, I finished that the day I got it. Anatoly Boyoin gave it to me, and I sat down and I played through it, and I was like, that was a good game. It did not take me very long at all, you know.
It took me 2 sittings to get through it.
But that's the thing. That's easily one of my most favorite action games in recent years, easily.
Hmm. Did you play the sequel?
Not yet. I'm not allowed to buy it being in Australia.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. We looked into it while I was over there. Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah. So, for me, Hotline Miami, there's no padding. Like, every level is well designed. Every level is a challenge. You don't feel like, oh, I'm doing this again, you know? Every level, you're like, okay, well, how am I going to get past these guys? What's the best method, you know? And you feel your skills growing. The second time I played Hotline Miami, I was like, man, this game is so easy. Because, like, the first time I was like, okay, this is pretty challenging. And the second time I was like, oh, I got this. You know. I think I've played through it 3 or 4 times now.
Really? I think I've played through it twice, maybe. I don't
but, remember. Like, so, yeah, so that's one example where, for me, that game is so much more interesting than any of the other action-y type games that come, like God of War and all the, you know, all that stuff. That's way more interesting to me than any of those, but it's also way shorter.
Right.
So, the pacing of it is spot on. When I play God of War, I feel like I'm bashing this guy 100 times, and I bash this guy 100 times, and I do a quick time
event
thing, you know, and then, you know, oh, there's a big cutscene and Kratos just shouting at someone. I'm like, yeah, okay. Whereas, yeah, whereas Hotline Miami, it's you're in there and then you go bang, and then there's a weird 5 minute bit, and then you're in there and you go bang again, and you're constantly engaged. It's good.
Okay. Well, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So
pacing. I think it's really hard to nail pacing.
Yeah.
Mostly for the reason is you're always trying to balance gameplay and story. You're constantly trying to balance it. It like in a thing like Mario or Sonic, you know, you're not trying to balance the story so much.
No, the story is kind of given to you as you finish each level. It's what little story there is. It's just like, help
yeah, so
me,
you
Mario.
Can watch someone play through the game and they can get to a bit. And you watch how they play that bit, and you're like, oh, the pacing's slightly off. We can tweak that. Whereas if it's story and puzzles, you know, different people might get stuck. Different people might do all the dialogue options.
Mm-hmm.
That's really hard to do. And, like, in terms of length, you know, I guess there's a few non-linear adventure games. But linearity often dictates.
Well, when you say non-linear, do you mean that they have sections where you can solve multiple puzzles at once, like Monkey Island 2 or that sort of thing?
No, I mean more
or
like Fate of Atlantis, where you can go, I'll do it this way, I can do it that way.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
And
yeah,
there's not...
Well, Fate of Atlantis ends up converging on the same thing no matter what path you take.
So, obviously.
Yeah.
But the journeys...
Yeah. You know what I thought was interesting is a week or so ago on Twitter, I saw that Trolls was playing Fate of Atlantis, and he hadn't realized what it is that affects the decision in the game.
I remember seeing that. Yeah.
Yeah, I felt bad. I sort of had to pull back the curtain and reveal to him what actually it was. I didn't realize that was a thing that people hadn't noticed. So sorry, Trolls.
was it the first time he played it?
I don't know if it was the first time he played it. I don't think so. Because the impression I got was that he was like, oh, when I play this, I like that it suggests to me what, you know, how I've been doing. I've never understood how it does that or something like that. So
I don't know.
Maybe
I didn't see the thing that prompted that, but I remember him being like, oh, that's how it works.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's that scene where Sophia gives you the psychic reading and she, like, tells you... You know, they frame it as she's giving you a personality reading, and that's how they tell you, you know,
who you are.
This is what we think you'll prefer playing. But it's cool too because it gives you the choice to do the other ones. It's not just like, oh, well, you did this, now you're stuck on this path. That's a good thing. They could have easily screwed it up by doing that.
That was a huge thing in the 90s. A lot of like the old RPGs, like the DOS RPGs, that like, do you want to you want to pick your character class, or do you want to take a quiz? You answer the quiz and we'll tell you which character class is best for you. Because some of those old games, there's a lot of classes. And it's like, damn, what, like, and the differences can be kind of hard to tell. So like, and also, it's not DOS, but Jagged Alliance 2, the sort of character that you don't recruit, but that you create, sort of, you answer this online questionnaire, and, you know, it decides who you are based on what you pick. In that, and that's got some pretty funny responses.
Well, yeah, it's like the quiz in Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines.
That's a great game.
That made
you
me
should
not
play
gaming.
That.
I'll get around to it eventually.
You say that a lot.
I
say that a lot too. There's too many games, Francisco. They need to be shorter.
I know, they do. Let's just say that. Let's make our adventure games 1 hour.
Oh.
Let's cut out.
I did that for years and everybody complained.
People complain about short freeware adventure games? People complain
about
it.
You know they do.
I know
they do. You know they do.
I know they do. Hell, I made 8 short freeware adventure games.
I think, Ben Jordan, the last few games in the series were of a decent length, in my professional opinion.
Eh, whatever. In any case, I think we should wrap things up. So...
Well, I just...
Because this game,
Wasteland 2 is on sale right now on GOG. I just got an email right now. Grim Fandango Remastered is on sale for cheap.
You should get that.
Yeah, it was good. Probably too big for me to download, Francisco.
I don't think so.
Wasteland 2 is like half off, dude.
Wow.
So if anybody's listening, and Wasteland 2 was very fun. I enjoyed it a lot. If you've got a spare 50 or 60 hours when you really want to get... I've given this a lot of recommendations. I must have really enjoyed it. But yeah, it's on sale. So, Grim Fandango is also on sale. And Dreamfall Checked is on sale.
Oh, Grim Fandango is 5 gigs. Never mind.
There you go.
That's too big for you.
So, there's a lot of stuff.
Oh, how much is Dreamfall Chapters on sale for?
Let's have a look. It appears to be like 60% off. Or almost.
Wow.
No, 40% off. I meant the other way.
Oh, okay.
So if you're listening
It won't run on my PC anyway. I need to get a new PC, I realized. Anyway,
When did you last get a new PC?
I got this PC in like 2012.
I remember you were worried about losing Ben Jordan 8.
Yep.
And it was right near the completion of Ben Jordan 8.
Yeah, I got this PC, I want to say, in like April or so of 2012. So.
What are your specs, Francisco? Tell us your specs.
Oh, I don't even know, man. It's not very good.
No. I remember you having trouble running Grand Theft Auto 4 on it.
Well, everyone had trouble running Grand Theft Auto 4. It's not a very well-optimized game.
Okay.
To be honest.
My computer's decent. I just have a tiny hard drive.
How do I check my specs? I forget. Isn't there like a thing in Windows that you can check real easily what your thing is? Isn't like under system?
System information.
Where do you find system information these days in Windows 7?
I haven't looked at mine for ages. I think it's in control panel, but I could be wrong.
Oh, here we go. View amount of RAM and processor speed. Here we go. Okay, let's see. I have a Dell Inspiron 570 with an AMD Athlon 2X2 250 processor that's 3.00 gigahertz. I have 8 gigabytes of RAM, and I think my hard drive... Well, what's my hard drive? I actually have two hard drives because I have an old one, my old one that I salvaged from my old computer. But my C drive is 450 gigabytes, of which I have 30.9 gigabytes free. And
what have you got on there?
A lot of shit, apparently. And my E drive, which is my old one, was 178 gigabytes, of which I have 835 megabytes free.
Wow. My hard drive is 111 gigabytes, and I've got 34 gigabytes free, which will be more because I'm about to uninstall Wasteland 2.
Oh, really? You uninstall games after you finish them?
Sure.
That's probably why I have so much hard drive space.
I just keep like the save games.
Oh, okay.
I don't want all that data clogging up my computer.
All right, fair enough. Jeez. Anyway.
Anyway.
Yes. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week talking about endings.
Man,
yes.
The pacing of this podcast was really off.
Yeah, it was, and the length was too long. So yes.
Yeah, that's my fault for playing Wasteland 2, and I regret nothing. It was great.
Good. So you can subscribe to us on iTunes if you look up Blue Cup Tools Podcast. If you haven't already, you can follow me on Twitter at Grundislav Games. That's GRUNDISLAVGAMES.
Grundislav.
Yes. Ben, where do you follow?
You can follow me at Ben_304 on Twitter.
And together you can follow us
At bcct_podcast.com
.org
/Lulo.
Oh, that's actually what I have to do right now. So let's end this podcast. Bye!